We're going to finish up our series on praying not only for the preacher, but praying for the church. The second book is in the hallway. If you don't already have a copy, there's a copy out in the hallway called Praying for Your People. Good book to read. It goes along with what I'm going to talk about, what I talked about last week and what I'm going to talk about today. And then we're going to move into a different series afterward next week. So be in prayer about all that stuff and ask the Lord how you can be involved and how you can continue to pray for not only the leadership here, but the other people in the church and for the ministry of the church and for whatever the Lord wants to do in his kingdom using Oak Grove Christian Church. That's the whole idea. Last week I talked about being grateful for you guys. I hope I got that point across to y'all, and I hope y'all understand that it was not something that I just said because it's in that book. The reason I asked you to read the book is because it agrees with a lot of things that are already true for me as a preacher of this church and the congregation here. And I want you to understand that. I hope you do. I'm always grateful for what the Lord is doing, and I'm always grateful to be a part of the kingdom of God, period, let alone be the preacher of a church congregation somewhere. So we're going to continue to praise the Lord for that and continue to be grateful for one another. By the way, we had some technical difficulties, as usual, since the sound guys are out of town. It always happens that way. So we should be live right now, but we only have audio. So those of you who are online looking at the live stream, you're just going to see the PowerPoint. So just listen. Audio is just as good as watching. You don't need to see me, I don't think. I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 1 this morning because it's one of the many prayers that Paul spoke into the lives of the believers of his time. And Paul was notorious, Paul the Apostle, in case you didn't know which Paul I'm talking about, he was notorious for speaking words of blessings into the lives of other believers. He was notorious for going to the Lord, not only for his efforts and his ministry, but also for the ministry of other believers around the world at the time. Because he understood that he's not the big cheese of all disciple makers. Or wasn't, and he still isn't. And of course, God used him in great ways. We're not going to take that away from him, right? But he's not any different than any other believer. And God has never changed. So think about this, y'all. Each one of you as believers, if you're a believer, if you've committed yourself to Christ, you've accepted him as Lord and Savior, you've repented of your sins, been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and received the gift of the Holy Spirit, you are not only expected and invited to be a part, an active part of the kingdom of God, you are actually commanded to be a part of the kingdom of God as a servant to our Lord. A willing servant, not a against your will slave kind of thing. You're willing. I want to be a servant to the King, to the Master, to the one who created us all, to the one who sent Jesus on the cross so that we can be reconciled to his holiness. Isn't that great? How could we ever think we're just going to take a day off? How could we ever think that's not for me, it's not my thing? You realize there are people in the world, and Lord help us not to be these people who believe that they have their free bus ticket to heaven paid for by Jesus, and they're just going to stand at the bus stop and wait for Jesus to come and get them and take them home. And there's nothing else left to do. There's no other part of the Christian life. That's a dangerous place to live, I think. I think I say that because it makes me wonder if those kinds of people really understand the commitment to Christ that they've made. If they really understand what it means to surrender to Jesus as not only Savior, but also Lord and Savior. He's the master of your life. You live for him now. You are purchased by his precious spilled blood. Okay, we have to understand that if we're going to be believers. And anybody can call themselves a believer. Anybody can say, I'm a Christian. Anybody can stand up in front of other people and say the right words or the right kind of prayer Even anybody can get baptized, for that matter. But if God knows what's in our heart, He knows what we're all about. He knows if we've truly accepted Him not only as Savior, but also as Lord. He knows that if we've truly surrendered our own kingdoms to the King of all kings. Okay? So I'm only saying these things because I want to remind you and myself who we are in Christ and what we're to be about. And I'm pretty confident, at least for the believers here in the room and those who are absent today, I'm pretty confident that we understand what it's about and who it's about. And we also understand that self is not the answer to that. It's not about me. It's not about self. It's not about my way. It's not about what I'm doing. It's about what God is doing. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about people who are lost and going to hell if they leave this world before they surrender to the Lord, before they accept this precious gift of love that God has offered to everybody. John 3:16, we can preach about it all day, every day. And if we have a good understanding of that and our hearts are pure in that commitment, then this prayer that we're about to read in chapter 1 of the letter to the Ephesians is the prayer that every preacher ought to be praying for the people that they serve with, the believers in the congregation that God has assigned them to lead and feed. In case you didn't understand, that's y'all. Okay. So what I'm about to read is my desire for my prayers to be in line with Paul's prayer for the believers, for you guys, for you, the church, for the believers, for brothers and sisters in Christ right here and even online and around the world for that matter. So let me just read it through and then we'll break it down a bit. Starting in verse 15 of chapter 1 in Ephesians. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. We went over some of that last week. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And, verse 19, what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Verse 22, and he put all things in subject under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Isn't that a powerful prayer? One thing I notice about Paul, when he prays, whether it's for himself or for the believers or even for the unsaved, he gets to the point. He don't beat around the bush. And he goes to God and says exactly what's on his heart and what's on his mind. And notice it's always all about what God wants. It's always all about what the Lord sent Jesus to die for. Look at any prayer that Paul lifts up to the Lord throughout any part of Scripture and you'll see that he's only praying for the things that Jesus went to the cross over. So why wouldn't I, as your preacher, want to pray those same things for y'all? So, verse 15 and 17, we just read, we talked about this last week, he's offering up thanks. He said, first he's saying, look, I've heard Paul had this special relationship with the Ephesians, by the way. In fact, when he stayed with them for a long period of time, and then when it's time for him to move on, they had this big sobbing party about him saying goodbye, and all the elders came out, and everybody was sad, and they were singing. You know how it is that if you want to see what it was like, just go to any airport and watch how families say goodbye to each other. They're slobbering all over each other. They're crying. They're going to miss each other. It's a normal thing. That's what was happening. He loved these people. He spent time with these people. And he didn't say he's praying for them to have great lives or have easy lives. He was just thanking God for their faith to start with, as we talked about last week. And then he prayed that they would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Spirit of wisdom and revelation. We're going to talk about knowledge in a minute. And I think every person, as they become an adult, whatever age that happens in a person's life, I think it happens when they learn the difference between knowledge and wisdom. That's what I think. This is my personal opinion. Because wisdom is knowing what to do with knowledge. The right things to do with knowledge, the best things to do with knowledge that you have. There's a lot of people that have a lot of knowledge, and they don't have a clue what to do with it, which makes them not very wise. Now, don't misunderstand me. That doesn't make them stupid, for lack of a better, softer word, right? I'm not saying anybody's stupid. I'm just saying they don't know what to do with the knowledge they have. Have you ever felt like you knew what to do, but you didn't know how to do it kind of situation? That's lack of wisdom in a moment. And that's okay. That's just like, okay, I don't know what to do. Right, here's the information. I have the knowledge, but what do I do? That's why we seek the Lord, right? Seek the Lord for His wisdom. His wisdom is better than my wisdom, right? Because I can guess on what to do. I can look at a situation and have an opinion about what to do and then apply whatever knowledge I have, and it may or may not be wisdom. Hello? You can say amen to that. It's not going to hurt my feelings. I've made a lot of mistakes over my life. I've been a pretty dangerous person with the knowledge that I've had over the years because I didn't have wisdom at times. I didn't have the right kind of wisdom. I didn't have God's wisdom. And he's praying that they would not only have, see, he said a spirit of wisdom, meaning he wants them to have God's wisdom. I want y'all to have the wisdom that comes from God. The wisdom that comes from keeping in step with the Holy Spirit as you're studying your Bible. You can't have wisdom and knowledge without the Word and without the Holy Spirit together. It's the Spirit of God that brings wisdom to the knowledge that you gain from the truth in the Word of God. Hello? I'm preaching myself every day when I say that kind of stuff. It's almost like I have to wake up every day and the Spirit of God has to say those things to me. Right? Every day you wake up, it's like, hey, this is going to be about the Word of God and it's going to be led by the Spirit of God. Otherwise, you might as well just go right on back to bed. That's the way it is. And so I'm praying that not only would you have the Word of God, the truth of God in your hearts and your minds, Not your truth, God's truth, and then that Spirit of God would get your attention and show you how to apply it. That's wisdom. That's my prayer for y'all. That's my prayer for y'all because that's my prayer for the church, because that's my prayer for the community. We all want to make disciples. We all want God to be pleased with our efforts in being a part of His kingdom. We have a responsibility to be a part of the kingdom. We cannot do it without the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and we cannot do it without His wisdom. Hello? So I pray for that. And then there's he says, and revelation. I want to read it. He said, he didn't just say and of revelation. He says, I want to give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. How many times have we read this Bible, New Testament or Old Testament, that's all truth, and sat back and say, what on earth is that saying? What did Jesus mean? Right? I mean, let's just do a study in the book of Numbers for a minute. God has to reveal this truth to us. It's the Spirit of God, when we're studying the Word, when we put our eyes on the Word of God, not the English language or whatever translation you want to use or whatever language you might speak, the truth that those words mean is what we're after. And we're asking God, I'm praying for y'all, and y'all are praying for me, we're praying that God would reveal this truth as we study His Word. On Sunday mornings when we do our Bible study before church starts, we have great conversations, don't y'all think? And we bring up some stuff that, you know, I like having those conversations in that Bible study, because somebody's going to say something that somebody else didn't think, but, oh, I didn't even think about it like that. Or that never crossed my mind. And that's the Spirit of God revealing, bringing revelation through the church. It's not changing the Word, right? It's revealing the Word. So I pray that that happens. I pray that that's continuous in our lives, in your lives, right? Because if I don't pray for those things, then what am I here for as a preacher? As a preacher, it's my job to put it on the plate and serve it up. I can't make you eat it. I can't make you swallow it. I can't make you do anything else with it. I just serve it up. So I'm just praying that the Lord would have His way, and that you would decide through the help of the Lord, you start taking a bite or two and chewing on it. And encouraging your neighbor, hey, take a bite of that. That's pretty good. Right? There's nothing I've found in the Word of God that's harmed me. Now, I'm just going to say this. There's a few things that I found hard to chew. I found hard to swallow sometimes. But it never has harmed me. Hello? So, that's verses 15 and 17. I thank the Lord for y'all, but I pray that His wisdom and revelation is a reality in your lives. Just like Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus. Now, verse 18. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, that are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. How many of y'all, this is going to be a dangerous question. How many of y'all want to be rich? Don't answer. It's a trick question, y'all. It's a trick question. Because some of y'all is like, well, it's kind of sinful to want to be. No, I'm talking, it depends on what I'm talking about, right? If you want to be spiritually rich, then yeah, everybody's like, yeah, man, I want what the Lord has for me. I want to be rich in the blessings of the Lord. So in that regard, all y'all are saying, yeah, that's what I want. Well, that's what I want as your preacher for y'all. Not only for your blessing, but because when we're rich in the Lord's blessings, in the glory of His inheritance, when we're rich in what we believe about the truth, then when people come in contact with us, they see the Lord in that. And they see that God is real. That we're not just playing a game. We're not just foolish people believing in somebody that doesn't exist. There's nothing you're going to say or do that's going to make you a better disciple maker. What makes you a good disciple maker, a productive disciple maker, is if you really believe what this Bible says. And if you live like you believe what you believe about Jesus, that's what's going to help you make disciples. So he's saying, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Here's the key, in case you haven't figured it out. If people, saved or not, if we could let this Word, the truth and the power of the Word of God, get past our minds so it can sink into our hearts, if we could just do that, then the Spirit of God would bring that truth back to our minds in the form of wisdom. Hello? And we struggle because we have to think about it first. It's almost like we have to filter God's Word and double check it before it gets into our heart, through our minds. And I got to tell you, I think we're all the same. I think. But if I don't allow this truth to get into my heart because it's boggled up in my mind because I got some hang up about it, I'm standing in the way of whatever the Lord's trying to do in my life and in my ministry. Because I'm policing His truth. Hello? And there's a lot of people in this world that are not saved. They refuse to give in to what the Lord has done through Jesus on the cross because they cannot let the truth get past their minds and become a reality in their heart. And I'm not going to condemn them because I'm the same way. I was the same way for years before I got saved. And praise the Lord that he is the only one that can take a rock solid heart and soften it up to where the truth can just settle in and have His way. So He's praying that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that your hearts would be moldable and soft for the Lord, the Spirit of God would be able to work, right? Because here's how we love people in this world. Because how many of y'all realize that the world is going in a direction where it's harder and harder and harder to love people? Because of the way they live and the way they think and the way they talk and the way they do. And if we live there, if we live in that mindset, we will never love people. And that's not loving God. So how do we do it? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. We just sang that song. My prayer for myself and for all of you is that we could go into the world and that God would help us to see people the way He sees people. And if we can see people the way God sees people, we would be way better off when it comes to trying to love them, regardless of who they are and what they're about. Everybody in this room, you're looking at me like you don't have somebody in your life that don't work your nerves or something. We all have those people. There's always people in your life that is just there to aggravate you, or they're there to be a problem in your life, or they just live in the world and they're nothing to do with God, and you're not going to hang around with them and talk to them, and you're not going to do what they do, and you've already written them off. And God says, those are the people that I want you to love. Hello? And the only way I'm able to do it is if I can see whatever God sees in that person. We have a big problem when it comes to that. And I mean we in general, people in general. We look at each other and we see what's on the outside. We see the results of the sin in their life. We see the results of the mind blocking the Word of God from getting into their hearts. We see the results of hardship and bad things happening to people, which sometimes cause people to have a hard life, which affect their attitude and affect their decision-making and affect their wisdom and affects everything, doesn't it? And suddenly they don't think like I do, and they don't talk like I do, and they don't have the same political views as me, and they don't have the same worldviews. They don't have the same social issue. All the way down the list, we have all these reasons why we're just not going to make the effort. And it's because we cannot see them the way God sees them. When God looks at you and me and every other person, He sees what Jesus died for. And if we could ever get to that point, with God's help, of course, we would be doing better to making disciples in this world for Him. People will see the Lord in us. People will see what they're looking for, because people are looking for God and they're looking for truth. And every time they see a person who says they're believers but not acting like they're a believer and not relying on the Lord, then they're going to say, okay, that's not a real believer right there. Or they're going to say, God must not be real. So I pray that God would open up your eyes of your heart so that you can be enlightened as to what God wants you to love. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be challenging, because everything in your mind tells you not to do what the Spirit of God is leading you to do. Y'all realize we need Jesus, right? I like saying obvious things because it gives me an amen every now and then. Let's get on to verse 19 and 20 through 21. Look what it says here. It says, "And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe?" Hello? Talking about the power of God here. He didn't stop with the prayer just saying, "Hey, help us be better Christians." He started praying for the thing that makes us better. The power of God. He says, what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. Of his might. When every time I realize I'm tired of trying to love this person, whoever this person might be, God reminds me it's because you're trying to do it instead of letting me do it. When the disciples were asking Jesus, "How many times should I forgive?" Right? And Jesus is like, "Many times as it takes." Because you're not the one doing the work. It's me doing the work. And as long as we have the power of God working in us, we will never get weary of doing what the Lord has called us to do, which is love people. You won't get weary of it. In fact, it'll be who you are. It'll be a natural reaction. And every time you get slapped in the face, you'll keep going back to love some more. You'll keep overcoming the fear and the anxiety and the hurt feelings that you have to overcome to continue to love people the way the Lord would have us love people. But it's in his power. It's his surpassing greatness. His power, his might, y'all. Talking about the greatest thing in existence lives in you. Is available to you. So when he says go into the world and love people and love me, go make disciples, I'll go with you everywhere. When he says to do this great task, this amazing opportunity to be a part of his kingdom, we have everything we need to be successful. And I pray, not I don't pray that you have it because you already have it. I pray that you tap into it. I pray that you will be open to the Lord working in your life. I pray that the power of God and the might of God is extremely active in your ministry. That's what I pray for you all. I pray that that's true for this church, for whatever the Lord is going to do with this congregation in this part of the world. As long as there's people who are not saved, there's work to be done. And we need his strength and his power to do it. Look at verse 20. This is this strength and this power, this great, the surpassing greatness of the Lord. It says, verse 20, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand and in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Forever and ever, amen. He's talking about the power that resurrected Jesus from the dead. I hope we realize we have the greatest message there is. And we have one job to do. Anyway, a few years ago, three or four years ago, I put up on the slide some things, some little pictures of, like, they call them memes, I guess. And it was a "you had one job" memes. Right, and it was a bunch of people failing at their one job and all kind of crazy stuff happened. We have one job, y'all. We have one job. That's to go into this world and represent the gospel. That's it. Not to make people get saved. Not to make people repent. Not to make people agree with Scripture. Not to prove Scripture or defend Scripture. Just stand in the truth, live it, and love people, and watch what the power of God will do in their lives. That's how we make disciples. That's how we love people. Sometimes you love people and they don't know how to accept it. They don't know how to deal with it. That's between them and the Lord, y'all. It really is. But don't let it be that we all stand before the Lord one day and he starts going down the list. Okay, how come you didn't do this? Or how come you did that? Or how come you... And you've got an answer to when we didn't love people. When God gave us opportunity. When we didn't do the one thing that he called us to do and commanded us to do. Because there's not going to be no answer for that, is there? I pray that y'all won't have to ever do that. Because the question is going to be, I gave you my authority. I gave you my power. I gave you my strength. I gave you everything that comes with my kingdom. Why didn't you do it? Now I pray, my prayer for y'all as your preacher is that we never have to come to the Lord and answer for ourselves in a negative way like that. I pray that we hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I pray that when we show up, the Lord shows us all the things that he's done in our life, in the ministry, right? We show up and we see all the things that God was able to do, and we see the results of our labor. And we fully understand at that moment, we will fully understand the power of God that changes lives. Well, I don't know what's holding anybody back who says they're a believer in the world. There's a lot of believers that are checked out. There's a lot of believers that are somehow put themselves in the timeout or whatever. They just kind of went on strike for some reason. I pray that the believers here at this church are not those people, that we would be looking for opportunity, waiting for the Lord, seeking the Lord, applying wisdom with the help of the Spirit so that we could be disciple makers and pleasing to the Lord, whatever that looks like. Look at verse 22 and 23. He was saying all, and he put, there it is. And he put all things subject under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Jesus is the head of the church. Nobody, no other person in the world, on the planet that's ever existed, has ever been in the head of God's church. Just Jesus. The church, the believers, the body of Christ. If you're a believer, you're part of the church. The body goes where the head goes. It's true. If you don't believe me, meet me after church, I'll show you. Get you some law enforcement training. The body goes where the head goes. The head decides where to go. The head makes the decisions. The head leads. The body just goes with it. None of us are in this building because our foot said, let's go to church. Jesus is Lord. And we get to be part of the church, the body of Christ. The church is part of a kingdom that functions under God's authority. It's the greatest thing going. It's the greatest thing that'll ever be. It'll never be defeated. It'll last for eternity. Aren't you glad you're a part of it? I thank the Lord for that. And I pray that you guys would constantly know that and constantly be aware of that. Paul would always pray and say things, and then he would say something like, so that. I'm saying this, so that. You know, believe me, read the Bible, you'll find out. Every time Paul's saying something, he says, I'm saying this, so that. There's a reason why he's praying these prayers. My prayers are also so that for you guys. One, because I love you, which isn't on the board, but it's so that you know I love you. Right? But it's really, these are the things. It's the same thing as Paul laid out. So that you would find wisdom and revelation. We can't serve the Lord together, and we can't be powerful witnesses together if I'm not asking the Lord to do these things for you. That you would have wisdom and revelation. So that you would receive the knowledge and the insight that you need, that God wants you to have, that Jesus provides through his death, burial, and resurrection. So that we can be effective in our ministry. And then, of course, the third one is that your ministry would be powerful and effective. It's discouraging, isn't it, when you try to witness to somebody or you try to love somebody and you know they're not saved and they just keep rejecting. They just keep saying no, and it breaks your heart. But I'm praying that the Lord helps you know that you're powerful and effective in the kingdom of God, and that that one rejection doesn't dictate your whole ministry. That one person who's being stubborn or rejecting or just having a hard time getting things past their mind and into their heart, that it's not, it doesn't mean that you're not powerful and effective. I pray that Oak Grove Christian Church would be powerful and effective for the Lord. Not so that we can brag, but so that the Lord could be glorified. And then finally, I pray for your endurance and your perseverance. As a believer, that you would stay strong in your faith and continue to grow in Christ, that you would stay strong in what you believe and not compromise and not give up the doctrines of the truth, because the world is putting pressure on you, that you would be strong and faithful, and that you would endure to the end, that you would persevere, because that's what glorifies God. Jesus told us it would be hard, and he said, sometimes you'll be alone, sometimes you'll be hated, right? It's not all ice cream and cake, is it? It's not all what we all thought it would be cracked up to be sometimes. Anybody who's ever been presented the gospel and said, you know what, I do need to be saved, and committed their life to Christ, there's some point, at some point in their life, they'll sit, we all sit back and we're saying, this ain't what I thought the Christian life would be. I thought being with the Lord would be all great and happiness, and all my problems would go away. I can tell by the way y'all are looking at me like, yeah, whatever, that ain't happening. I can tell, because we all been there, haven't we? And we sometimes sit back and we say, where's God in all of this? And that's why I pray for y'all to be strong, and I pray for y'all to persevere in those times. When you're being a witness, which is always, when you're taking opportunities to pray for people and love people and share scripture with people, if that ever happens, when you're encouraging one another. Every church, including this one, got people that are struggling in their faith in some way, form, or fashion. And God uses the church to help those people, to encourage those people. I pray that y'all keep coming back here on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights and any other time we got opportunity to get together and honor God by the way that we have fellowship, whether it's a ladies' breakfast or the men's breakfast. Whatever it is, it's for the glory of God. Every Sunday, I don't think I'm the only preacher in the world this happens to, but every Sunday I get one or two text messages from somebody because they are either traveling or sick or something's come up and they can't get here. And I appreciate the fact that they care enough to let me know, so I don't worry about them and I don't come calling them, you know, wondering where they are. But at the same time, it's like I'm kind of hoping y'all will be here. Not a complaint, it's just the way it is, y'all. It's just what we deal with. It's not wrong that people miss. People are missing because they have to. But there's some that miss and they don't have to. In every church, it's like that. Right? That's why we pray the way we do. We pray because we want everybody to be as healthy as God can help them be. Because healthy believers reproduce themselves. You want to make disciples? Make sure you're healthy. Make sure you're available to be healthy. It's not about, I'm about to be done, y'all. It's not about filling up the church. I've said that 100 times. It's about getting people to know God. Not just get to know about God, but getting people to know God the way you know God. Think about your relationship with him. Think about how special that is. Think about how great he's been to you. All the answered prayers. Right? We talked about that this early in the Bible study this morning. God has been faithful. Don't you want to share that? Don't you want people to know about that? And my prayer as your preacher is that we would be available to the Spirit of God so he can use all of that to get those people who don't know him to realize that this is real. This is for real. This is the real deal, y'all. I love you and the Lord loves you. We're going to sing a song together. I forgot to tell you. You better go on up here.